All right, we're going to start here at the top of Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. We left off with the sugyo of Shmuel's statement. Shmuel had a statement that if the Edim see the Toveah running after them, and they turn around and they say, listen, we don't know any testimony for you, stop bothering us, we're going to take a Shvuah, that doesn't work. Because you have to have a statement or a request from the one who needs the testimony in order to generate a problem of Shvuat Eidut. Gemara says, why do I need Shmuel? I already have a Mishnah that tells me about it. So Gemara says, well, that's the Chiddush of Shmuel. Shmuel is telling us the Chiddush that when Ratz Achareihem, which is that actions speak louder than words, I would have thought that's the equivalent of him asking, personally asking for, or making a request for Eidut. So the Kamash Malan of Shmuel is that it's not enough, unless he specifically articulates his desire to have them testify, there is no chiyuv of shvat eidut. Now the Gemara says on that, kamash malan, the Gemara asks a question, v'ha nami tanina, three lines down, on Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, it says, v'ha nami tanina, that we also have in a Mishnah, this whole idea that Ratz is not considered to be as if he spoke, because we have shvat eidut, ketzad. What's the case of shvat eidut, which is our Mishnah right here? Amar le'edim bo ve'eduni, shvua. And then they take a shvua, as we see in our Mishnah, right? That shvua she'enanu yidim lecha idut, v'chule. So there, Gemara says, amar in, lo amar lo. So the Gemara says, it sounds like that he said something to them. He was running after them. He says, amar l'shnaim bo ve'diuni. So there we see that there's a specific need for him to be amar, to actually ask or request the edut. But if he doesn't request the edut, it doesn't work. Gemara says, amar lav dafko. That the Amar here is not a Lashon, exact Lashon in the Mishnah, that you're medayik from that he has to say it. If he doesn't say it, it doesn't work. It's Lav Davko. Amar is Orcha de Milta, Nakat. I mean, that's the normal way that people speak, or the normal way that it would happen, and therefore, the Mishnah used the term Amar over here. Dilo Taimahach, if you don't say it's Lav Davko, Gabi Pikadon. We have a Mishnah by Pikadon, which also has a similar type of Lashon. Diktani, Shvata Pikadon Ketzat. Amar lo tain li pikadon sheish li biadecha. He says to him, please give me the pikadon that you have, that you're watching for me. So hachanami amar in lo amar lo. Are you going to medayik the same thing in the Mishnah Shvata pikadon, that only if he states it, only if he says it, do we say yes? But if he doesn't state it, then it doesn't work. Vaha. But we have in the pasuk that references by Shvata pikadon, it says v'kichesh be'amito, and that he just has to deny. Kol dehu. As long as there's a denial, that's all we care about over here. We don't need a request from the person who holds the pikadon. We simply need a denial by the person who's supposedly watching it or supposedly has it in their possession. Sela amar lav dafko. So it's clear why Shvuata pikadon, when it says amar over there, it's used lav dafko. Hachanami lav dafko. So too over here in our Mishnah, when it says amar, it's not exact. It's not to be medayek from. It's, right, lav dafko. The Gemara says, hi, mai. How can you compare the cases? If you say the Amar in our Mishnah is Davko, means literally, then then in the Mishnah Pikadon, it puts Amar to create the parallel structure, to have the Mishnayot be identical in their format and their layout, but not because it has any meaning by Pikadon, but it has meaning here. Otherwise, if not, Eli Amar, lo Amar dahotom Davko, if you want to suggest that the Amar in our Mishnah is not Davko, and the Amar in the Mishnah in Shvat HaBigon is not Davko, Amar, Lomali, Lemitnai, why should I write it at all? Just leave it out. Why do you have Amar in this Mishnah? Why do you have Amar in that Mishnah? It's not necessary at all. Leave it out entirely. Gemara says, Dilma Orcha Demilta, Kamash Malon. That's exactly it. The Mishnah is just telling you what the normal case is. It's not giving you a halacha in Amar. It's just telling you what's the normal case. He comes and he requests for them to give Eidut. That's the classic case of when you're going to have Shvuat Eidut. It's not because there's anything to learn from the fact that the Amar Dafka, and if you don't say Amar, doesn't work. So if that's the case, then Shmuel's halacha is still a chiddush, because our Mishnah is not necessarily teaching us that din. We can just say about our Mishnah that it's Orcha de Milta Kamashalan. If it's Orcha de Milta Kamashalan, that it's just a normal way of speech, the normal occurrence of Shvuat Eidut, then we can't learn anything from there. Can't learn anything, then we have Shmuel come to teach us that what's the din? The din is Amar Davka, and you must state, articulate, request the Eidut, otherwise there is no Shvuat Eidut. And the Gemara says now, Tanya Kovata de Shmuel Verbraisa, that supports this position of Shmuel, Ra'u Shabach Arehen, they saw that he was running after them. Amrulo Ma'ata Ba Acharenu, What are you doing chasing after us? We had enough already. Shvua she'ein anu yodim l'chaidut. We take a shvua, we don't know any dut. Piturim, in that case, they're patur. Because, obviously, there, he's missing that key component, like Shmuel says, which is you need a request from the Toveya, the one who they will testify on the behalf, because you're missing that request, patur. On the other hand, in Pikadon, if it was done by Pikadon, chayav. Because by Pikadon, there's no demand for an articulation of the request for the Pikadon. All you have to have is a denial. V'kichesh ba'amito, you need a denial, you don't need the request. Whereas here, by the Shvat Eidut, we need an actual request. Again, we'll learn that in the Gemara. It'll be coming up in the Gemara. We'll learn that from the Pasuk. But here we require a specific request from the Toveya, from the one who requires the Eidut, to speak to the Eidim. And here with the lack of a request, even though he's running after them, that's not enough. They have to have a clear and articulation of that request. Right now, the Mishnah had a case of Ishbi Aleim Chamisha Pi'amim, right, outside of Beit Din. And then he comes and does the final one inside of Beit Din. So Gemara says, Minalon, Dakfira Beit Din Hu de Mechaive, Achutz de Beit Din Lo Mechaive. How do we know that Shvuat Eidut, according to the Chachamim for sure, according to Rebbe Meir, there's an exception to this case, but at least according to the Chachamim, how do we know that Shvuat Eidut only has application inside of Beit Din? Outside of Beit Din, there's no such thing as Shvuat Eidut. So Amar Abaye, but he says, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Im Lo Yagid Venasa Avono. If he doesn't, right, give testimony, lo yagid, he doesn't say the testimony he has, vidnas avano, then he will carry the chait. So lo amarti lecha el makom. I only said it in a place, she'ilu magid ze, mitchayev ze b'mamon. That in the place where if he says something, the other party will then become obligated to pay money. I mean that, where is the place, im lo yagid, is in the makom hagada. What's the makom hagada? The makom hagada is Beit Din. That's the place where the testimony will have bearing or have meaning. So in the context of where the testimony will have meaning, im lo yagid, if he doesn't say it there, then vanasa avono. So that's where the Shvat Eidut. Shvat Eidut is a problem in the place where the Eidut would normally be given. So Mer says, Amale Rapopola Abaye. Rapopola challenges Abaye and says, Ihachi, ema shivua gufa bebeitin in, shlo bebeitin lo. Well, if you want to say that the Shvat Eidut only has application inside of Beit Din, then why is our Mishnah coming up with a case? A case where you take five Shvuot outside of Beit Din, and he finally comes to Beit Din, and then he takes a last Shvuot where he denies it again. He's Chayav on all of them. Why is that the case? If you want to say, Vim Lo Yagivin HaSelvono, that sounds like the requirement of Shvat Eidut is to take not only, right, that the denial is in Beit Din, but every Shvuah that you take is a Shvuah in Beit Din. Why are the five Shvuot outside of Beit Din have any relevance over here? They should not be included, they should not be relevant when it comes to Shvuat Eidut. Where it says, Lo Sakodatcha, that we can't say, Detanya Le'achat. Right, because it's Ve'yaki Hashem Achat Me'elu. So Le'achat means L'chayev al kol achat v'achat. That's to tell you that you're Chayav on multiple Shvuot. Now, where can you be Chayav on multiple Shvuot? V'sakodatcha Beit Din. If he's in Beit Din, mi mechayev al kol achat v'achat. There's no way you can be chayav on multiple shvuot in Beit Din. Why? V'hatanan. We have a Mishnah. Hishbi'a lehem chamisha piyamim b'fnei Beit Din. It's our Mishnah right here. If he makes them take five shvuot in Beit Din, v'kafru, and they deny it, ein chayavim al achat. They only chayav once. Amar Rabbi Shimon matam, hovenam yecholim lachzor la'odot. Once they've denied the edut at that point in time, now they become, you know, ois edim. They're no longer edim anymore. They can't testify in this case anymore. They've taken themselves out of the position where they can testify in this case. They can't testify in the case. There is no shvuat edut. Shvuat edut is only relevant to someone who could otherwise testify in the case. So therefore, it was in Beit Din. You can only be chayav once. So where's the pasuk when it says you're chayav on each one of the claims here? Where's that? What's that pasuk speaking about? Well, it must be alav shemamina shvua chutz the Beit Din. Kfira be-Beit Din, that the Shvuah was taken outside of Beit Din, but the denial is inside of Beit Din. So that's how we accomplish both Psukim, or that's how we reconcile between the two Psukim. Shvuah chutz the Beit Din, that's how you can have multiple times that you're Chayav, because a Shvuah outside of Beit Din does not preclude you from being an aid. And therefore, each time you take the Shvuah, it's a denial where you could have been an aid. On the other hand, we have the Pasuk that says, Im lo yagid v'nasavono, that there has to be done in the Makom Hagadah, in the Makom of Eidut. That means it has to be done in Beit Din. So what has to be done in Beit Din is the denial of the fact that you have Eidut. The final denial has to be done in Beit Din. But the Shvuot that were taken outside of Beit Din, there you'll be Chayav on each and every one of them that you took outside of Beit Din. So that explains the piece of the Mishnah that we had mentioned yesterday, which is that if you have multiple Shvuot outside of Beit Din and then a denial in Beit Din, you'll be Chayav not only on the denial in Beit Din, but also for all the Shvuot that you took until that point in time outside of Beit Din. Now, Kafru Shneim Keachat Chayavim. If the two Eidim come and deny simultaneously that they have testimony, then they are chayavim. Gemara says, Hayif shar letzamtzem? How could they come and how could they say this simultaneously? We can have the Gemara's basic principle of machlokas. We'll see here again, but machlokas and shas, whether there's a possibility of being mitzamtzem. Can you have something happen at the exact same moment? For instance, by a bechor, you have a behemah kshera that has twins. It's giving birth to twins, and they're both bechorot. So can they come out simultaneously? Is there such a concept or possibility that they both could be bechorot because they came out at the exact same time? Or do we have to say that if shalat tamtzeim, it's never the exact same time. One of them came out first. We just don't know which one it is. But there is no possibility of them being exactly the same time. So Gemara says over here, by Yidut, you can never have them be at the exact same time. So how can you have Shnehem, right, that they're denying it, Ka'achat? So we have two answers. One is Amar of Chista, Hamani Rabbi Yosi Aglilihi. The author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi Aglilihi, Damar, if Shalat Tzamtzeim. That's one answer. That he has the possibility that you do have the possibility of Mitzamtzeim. He believes that there is a concept of Mitzamtzeim. You can have an exact simultaneous event where there is no differential between them and they both had, again, both Bechorot are born at the same exact time, or here that both Eidim are able to testify simultaneously. Now, the more common answer and the answer that will resonate with this is Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Teimer Rabbanon, even according to Rabbanon, we'll say it's Eif Shalat Tzamtzeim, Kagon Shekafru Shnehem Betoch Kedei Dibur. That they both deny it within a tochedei dibur of each other. Now Gemara says, tochedei dibur kedibur dami. Right, that tochedei dibur is considered as if it's a single unit or a single denial all the way through. They become like a single unit of denial when they speak within tochedei dibur. So I'm Rav Acha midifte Ravina michte. Let us think. Michte tochedei dibur kamahavi. What is the duration of tochedei dibur? It says, "Kedei Shelo Talmid the Rav." Amount of time it takes for a Talmid to give a greeting to his Rebbe, right? Which is either Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Either one, it's a very short duration. It's not much time. So it says, "Wait, if that's the amount of time, Ada Amrei, until by the amount of time that the second aid says Shvua Shein Anu Yodim Lecha Idut Tuvahavi, that's more than Tochedei Dibor." So the Gemara's assumption at this point in time is that they're both of their kfirot. They're both of their denials have to be within a toch de dibur. The second denial has to be within a toch de dibur completed. The total kfira, the kfira has to be done, the entire denial has to be done within a toch de dibur of the first kfira. And Gemara says, well, look at this. You have Kdei Shela Tami the Rab, which is Shamalecha Rebbe's three words, or Rebbe Mori's four words, and yet for him to deny it by Shvuat Eidut, he has to make a much longer Shvuah She'ein Anu Yodim Lecha Eidut. Right, that's already 5-6 words. That's going to take more time than Tochedei Dibur. If that's the case, you're not going to end up with a single entity. So Gemara says, Amalei, no, you misunderstood Tochedei Dibur. Ela kol echad ve'echad toch diburo shel chavero. As long as you start your statement within a Tochedei Dibur of the previous statement, then we consider them to be joined in a single statement. It's not that you have to complete the second denial within a Tochedei Dibur of the first denial. You must start the second denial within a Tochedei Dibur of the completion of the first denial. So the Tochedei Dibur is not a measure of the entirety of the statement of the second aid, but rather it's the amount of duration between the Edut of the first aid and the Edut of the second aid. If it's within that duration between them, if it's less than that, that will make them into a single entity. Yes, to being a single kat of Eidim, right, to consider them one kat of Eidim, they must all testify within a Tochedei Dibur of each other. That is correct. All right, but now, here, the Tochedei Dibur here is very important, because if you remember, in the Mishnah, we said, what happens if they actually testify in a sequential order? In that case, then only the first aid is Chayav Shuat Eidut, but the second aid is not Chayav Shuat Eidut, because by the time we get to the second aid, there's no Eidut left. The first one already denied it, the first aid denied it. Now they don't have two Eidim, they're only left with one aid, there's no denial of Shuat Eidut. So why can't he say the same thing over here? The one who speaks Tochedei Dibur can also say the same thing. Look, the other guy already did the denial. Why does it matter what I say? Whether it's within Tochedei Dibur or not within Tochedei Dibur, why should it matter at all? He's already denied it. What I say now becomes irrelevant. So that's what the Re says over here, that you have to know that over here, when it means Tocha de Dibur, means that it keeps the first denial alive, which means that the first person who's denying, when the second one begins to deny within Tocha de Dibur, that means that the first one's not complete. If the first one's not complete, that means he can reverse his opinion. You're allowed to reverse your opinion within Tocha de Dibur. So that means as long as the second one is still speaking, the first aide could still retract his statement. And by the fact that he could retract his statement, that means that the second aide, when he's doing his denial, it's a real denial, because the first aide could always change his mind. That means that the second aide is still of value at this point in time, and his denial is a real denial for Shvuat Eidut. If you want to see it, it's in the Tosfos Tocha de Dibur, just in the middle of the Tosfos, it says, Vomeri, Kevin Sheid Zeh Tocha de Dibur Shel Rishon, Chashiv Kilu Shneim Heidu Bevat Achat Bitzimtzum. It's as if they are simultaneously to him testifying. Just like the second one can reverse his edut at the end of his statement within Tocha de Dibur, so too the first party can reverse his opinion at the end of the second party's statement Tocha de Dibur. So as long as both of them have that ability to retract their statement, then each one of their denials is a denial that's going to be mechayev over here, because they could both still be good edim at the time of their denial. So Mer says, "Bezeh achazeh." That's the next case, which is Arishon chayav, Asheni patur. There, the Rishon's chayav, the Sheni's patur. Matnita deloki hay tano. This Mishnah is not like this tano, which is the Tanya Mashbia edechad patur. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon mechayev. So here we have a fundamental machloket by Shvuat Eidut. The Shvuat Eidut applied to an edechad. The Tanakhama says no, that he would be in consonance with our Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says no, that an Eid Echad is considered an Eid, and because he's considered an Eid, then if Sheb Shvuat Eidut, he's going to be Chayav. So that's against our Mishnah. So when the Gemara here says that Matnitin Lo Haitana, means it's not like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So here we have a Machlokes. This is what we discussed yesterday about Eid Echad. How much of an Eid is an Eid Echad, and how much of an Eid Echad is really Nemanut, right, or some sort of dispensation that allows an aide to have power in this case, but Eid Echad to have power in this case, but not that he's really an aide, not that he's really acting as the equivalent of two aidim in this instance. So here you have a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. How much is an Eid Echad in terms of viewing him as being a real aide versus viewing him as being simply a Nemanut or somebody that has power to sway the case without being an official aide? Let us say that the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is this. The Marsavar Eid Echad, ki ata l'shvuahu kedato. That he holds that what does an Eid Echad come to do? He can just be Mechayev Shvua. He can be Chayev, one of the parties, to take a Shvua to deny whatever the Eid Echad is saying. So therefore, he's not a real Eid. He just has the power to generate a Shvua. On the other hand, Marsavar Eid Echad, ki ata l'mamona ka'ato. The other opinion, meaning Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, believes an Eid Echad could act in a manner where he could actually take money out, meaning that he could cause the exchange of money, that he was considered or classified like a real aid, and he has a power like two aidim. It says, Vitispara, how could you ever say such a thing? Now, the Gemara is going to bring a cryptic statement by Abaye, which they're going to explain in a second, but we'll see from the statement of Abaye that we know that there's no such thing as an Eid Echad that can create a Chiyuv Mamon, meaning that there's no such concept of an Eid Echad that can create Mamon, or in the case that it does do it, then even the Rabbana would agree. So it's a Hamar Abaye, Akom Meidim Be'ed Sota. Everybody agrees. Now, everybody agrees here means both the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon agree by an Eid Sota. V'akom Odim Be'edei Sota. And they also both agree by Eidei Sota. U'machloket Be'edei Sota. This is the third case, right? They have a machloket stands by Eidei Sota. Then another case, Akom Odim Be'ed Echad. They all agree by an Eid Echad. V'akom Odim Be'ed Shekenegdo Chashur Al Hashavua. And they also agree in a case where the opposing party is Chashur Al Hashavua. So now, the Gemara says, based on that, now the Gemara is going to leave this and come back to Abaye in a second, but Abaye says it's clear that everybody agrees by an Eid Echad. What it means to be everybody agrees by an Eid Echad is when, if an Eid Echad can move Mamon, then even the Tanakhama would agree that there is a Chiyuv Shvuat Eidut. Now, if the Eid Echad cannot move Mamon, then what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Ella, this is what the Gemara says, the Kuli Amo, Eid Echad, Chiyati L'Shvuah Ka'ati. The Eid Echad is only coming to generate a Shvuah, to obligate a Shvuah from the party, the opposing party, or the party that he's testifying against. This is what they're arguing about. That is, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon believes something that can cause monetary loss or can cause a change in the monetary standing, that is considered like mamon. It has like a monetary standing. And one of them holds that it's not like mamon dami. So what's the case here? The case here is that he has the possibility, this Eid Echad, if he was to testify, he could be Mechayev Shvuah. Now, when you're mechayev a shvuah, the other party now has to respond with the shvuah. And there's an underlying assumption, and Rashi makes this claim here, that rov bnei adam nishbaim l'sheker. Most people will not take a false shvuah. Since they will not take a false shvuah, then generating the shvuah on the other party is going to get us to the outcome that we want. That means that if he really owes the money, he's not going to pay up. So you're generating the chiyuv shvuah is what's causing the money to be paid over here. You could generate or you could cause money to exchange hands because you create a chiyuv shvuah. So that's davar hagoreim lemamon. Your shvuah can cause a monetary decision or a monetary outcome in the case. So therefore, that's a davar hagoreim lemamon. Davar hagoreim lemamon. That's the machlokas here. The machlokas between the chachamim, the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is, where do we say davar hagoreim lemamon has the status like mamon? If it has the status like mamon, that means that you are making testimony or you're giving testimony that has monetary impact, then you can have shvuat ha'edut. If you say hagoreim lemamon is lav k'mamon domi, then you're not having monetary impact. There is no shvuat ha'edut in this case. No, the first guy is chayav because there are two edim at the time he testifies. When he comes to court and denies that he has edut, there are two parties that could testify. You still have shtei edim. We have shnei edim, they can make a real testimony. Once he's taken himself out of the picture, then what's remaining for the second ed is he's now an ed echad because his friend, his party over there is gone. He can't change his mind anymore. Once he's made a denial, he can't change his mind. It's over. But before the testimony of the second one, the first ed is testifying when there still could be shnei edim here. I mean, it never gets off the ground. You only have to have, you know, here you don't have to have real edut. You have to have the potential of edut. We're not asking that these two edim come and they really testify in court as edim. We just have to know that they had potentially could be a kat edim that could have testified in this case. All right, so now the Gemara says, Gufa Amar Abaye. So now the Gemara is going to dissect this whole statement of Abaye and explain each piece by piece what it was speaking about. So the Gemara says, Hakol modim be'ed sota. And Hakol modim be'ed sota, machlokot be'ed sota. Hakol modim be'ed echad, v'hakol modim be'ed darish kenegdo chashul ha'shvua. Right now, here we go. Hakol modim be'ed sota, shechayav. Everybody agrees by an eid sota that you're chayav. Why? Because be'ed tuma rachmana hem ne. When it comes to a single eid, when it comes to tumata isha, a single aid is believed because it says dichtiv ve'aid ein ba, right? So it says that there is no aid to her, right? There is no aid, meaning that there is, and we know the Gemara and Sota. We learned this in the Gemara and Sota. The word Gemara tells us there the word aid is a binyan av to chol Torah kula. Anytime the Torah uses the term aid, it means two aidim. That means ve'aid ein ba. There are no two aidim here to testify to her. Ha, what that means is that there could be hayesh ba aid echad. But if there was an eid echad, that would stop the process over here. So what's the case over here? We have a case, we have two eidim where he had kinui. The husband went ahead and said, listen, do not be miyached with this individual. Then we have another set of eidim, another set of two eidim that say that she was mistater, that she was miyached with this individual. So now what's going to happen? She's going to have to go up to the mikdash, she's going to have to drink the meisota, so on and so forth. But had this eid echad come and said, you know what? I was a witness to the fact that she had relations with this individual. If he was to come and testify to that fact, even though he cannot put her to death, because it's a davar she'erva, davar she'erva requires two edim, so even though she will not be put to death, in that case she will not be punished, nevertheless, he has the ability to establish through that nemanut that she was, what? That she had relations, she will not drink the meisota, and she will lose her ketubah. So over here, this one aid has the power to cause her to lose her ketubah, or basically to save the husband from having to pay the ketubah. So therefore, he causes a monetary exchange, or he can cause a monetary outcome in the case. And therefore, when he's kofer be'eduto, when he denies his eduto, chayav. Why? Demafsid mamon mamash. He's causing a monetary loss to the Baal over here by denying his testimony. So since the aid echad here, the aid tumah by sota, has monetary impact, both the chachamim, the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will agree that that type of aid echad is a real aid, and then if you take a shvuat eidut denying it, you're going to be chayav in this case. Again, this focuses on the idea that the obligation on shvuat eidut is that you're causing a monetary loss to someone else. This idea of, right, avad mamon, that you're causing this loss of mamon. So now the Gemara says, what's the next case? The next case is, akol modim be'edei sota shepatur. By Eidei Sota, you're also Patur. What's that? Be'edei Kinui. That's saying about the Eidei Kinui, where he says, do not be mistater, do not be miyached with this individual. To have a goreim, to goreim. Because there it's not even a goreim de mamon, but it's a far removed. It's like a cause of a cause. It's like three steps removed. Why? Because, first of all, number one, he warned her. So now, after this point in time, she has to be miyached with him. And we need two edim to the fact that she's been miyached with him. Then after that, she's got to go up to the Mikdash and drink the Mesota, and who knows what's going to happen, whether she's going to lose her ketubah or not. So since it's too many steps removed from the fact that you could lose the mamon, over there, if he denies the edut by kinoi, by the kinoi, then we say that's already, it's so far removed that that's not classified as being a monetary loss. And everybody would agree. Even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says, Dover Goreim Lamamon is Kimamon Dami, that's when it's a Dover Goreim Lamamon. Over here, where it's a Goreim to Goreim, he's going to agree that that's not, it's too far removed, and that's not classified like Mamon. And everybody would agree here that Shvat Eidut would not apply to this these Eidim here. Even though they're two Eidim, it would not apply to them in this instance. They say we do not have testimony to that. He says, listen, please come and testify to the fact that you saw me warn her not to be miyached with someone. So we have no such testimony. We never saw that. So then that's a shvat haedut. They're denying their testimony. They're denying the fact that they have testimony in this case. Right, so now Tosfos does ask the question, which is, wait a minute, right? Then we have a possibility that she's going to drink the mesota. In all these instances, why don't we say the eid echad could also come along and say, listen, you know what, if I didn't come and testify over here in this case, you know, you wouldn't have lost your ketubah. You're right, I could have caused the loss of the ketubah. But you know what, in the end, she's going to drink the mesota, and we're going to find out the truth anyway. So why did I cause you a loss? In the end, you're going to get what you need. The answer that Tosfos gives is, well, because the mesota are not perfect. The mesota don't work when she has a schut, when she has a schut l'tlot. The reasons why the mesota doesn't work in some instances. So therefore, the case by the Eid Echad is a guarantee that he's going to lose, that he's not going to have to pay the ketubah. The case by the mesota is a question mark whether it even is going to work or whether it'll come to the right conclusion anyway. So over there, that's considered, that Eid Echad, when he doesn't testify, that's really considered a hefsed mamon, even though there's an alternative. There's an alternative path, but that alternative path is wrought with many issues and possibilities of not coming to the conclusion that she will not pay the ketubah, even though she was problematic, her actions were problematic over here. All right, so that explains the first two items that Abaye mentioned. One is a kol modim be'ed echad, which is eid sota, the eid tuma. Number two is a kol modim by shtei edim. Here the shtei edim are the shtei edim of kinoi. And the next case is machloket be'edei sota. Right, what does it mean, machloket be'edei sota? Yeah. The eidei kiyum of what? Oh, kinoi. Yeah, what about the eidei kinoi? No, Eidei Kinoi have two implications. Eidei Kinoi have implications in terms of Sota from the Tzad Isur, but they also have implications on the Sota from her losing her Ketubah. So what the Gemara is after here is on the monetary side, that he caused a loss to this individual. They're not focused on the Isur side here. Alright, so then, Machloket Be'edei Sota. The Machloket here is Be'edei Sota. Which Eidim are we talking about here? Be'edei Stira. They deem that are witnesses that she was Miyached with this individual. So here, the Machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon will be alive. Marsavar davar goreim lamamon kemamon dami. Here now you're not a goreim the goreim. Here you are davar goreim lamamon. V'chayav marsavar lav kemamon dami upatur. Over here it's considered a davar ha-goreim lamamon. Why is it a davar goreim lamamon? So Rashi says over here because shema you gormim la shehe muda mirat bidikat hamayim. Because there's a possibility that their testimony would force her into a position where she would admit to it because she's afraid of drinking the water. Here again, we're only one step removed from the fact that, from the determination of whether she will pay the ketubah or not. So that's davar hagoreim lemamon. So that's why here this is classified as a case of davar hagoreim lemamon. Davar hagoreim lemamon is exactly the machlokus in Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakamo. And this machlokus will apply to the edei stira. So three different types of edim that you have by sota. Right, one of them is classified as a aid echad or an aid tuma. That aid tuma, right, is someone who everybody agrees is a aid mamon. And since he's an aid mamon, right, therefore he has to. Everybody agrees, Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, that there is a case of shvat eidut. Number two is aidei kinui. Aidei kinui are the goreim le goreim. So it's a grain, the grain. Even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon will agree over there that they have no impact and there's no shvuat eidut. And the last set of eidim is they stira or machlokas. This is the machlokas. It's a davar agorim lemamon. Davar agorim lemamon. We have a machlokas. Zitanakam and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Whether shvuat eidut applies in that case or not. So those are the first three statements of Abaye. Now the Gemara is moving on to the next statements of Abaye, which is Hakol modim b'shegnegdo chashud al shvua, v'hakol modim be'ed echad to Rabbi Abba. All right, so those are the next two cases of Abaye. One is that if the opposite party is chashud al shivua, and the other case is the case of Eid Echad by Rabbi Abba, which we'll get to one now. So Gemara says, Hakol modim b'shegnegdo chashud al shivua. Everybody agrees when the opposing party is chashud al shivua and he can't take a shivua, the chashid man. Who here cannot take a shivua? Now, chashud al shivua is somebody who has the Beis Din will suspect this person from taking a shvuah sheker, and therefore we will not allow them to take a shvuah, either to exonerate themselves or to mechayev someone else money. We deny them the right to shvuah because we don't believe them. So who is the one here? Is it the toveah or is it the nidva here that is the one who's chashud? Ilei mid chashid toveah. Is it the debtor here that's chashud? Damalei malve. The malve says, I atit asadli. Had you come and testify to me, have a mishtabno v'shakilno. I would have been able to take my money. So he said, because the loveh wouldn't have been able to take a shvuah and I would get my money. So he says, Gemara says, v'lei melei mi yeymar de mishtabot. My zayd say to him, who says that he's going to take the, right? Who says he's going to have to take a shvuah? Over here. So Elo, Gemara says, kigon shishneem chashudim. It's a case here where they're both chashud. So what happens in a normal case of a chashud al shvuah? The din is that the shvuah reverts back or comes back to the malveh. So in the case here, say for instance where the debtor is the one obligated to take the shvuah to deny the fact that he owes money, and he's chashud al shvuah, so he can't take the shvuah. What do we do in that case? The chachamim instituted that shvuah will revert to the malveh, and the malveh will be a nishba v'notel. He'll take a shvuah and then collect his money. So since he can take a shvuah and collect his money. So the malveh says to him, had you testified here, the loveh would not have been able to take a shvuah, and then I could have gotten my money. But that's not the case. He wouldn't necessarily have gotten his money. He'd have to take a shvuah to get his money. So the aide can say to him, listen, without me, I don't know if you would have taken, the malveh would have taken the shvuah. There's no proof to that fact. My lack of testimony here didn't necessarily cause you a loss, because we don't know if you're really going to take a shvuah, or the malveh would take a shvuah in this instance. So Gemara says, no, the case here is el kagon sheshneim chashudim. Both the loveh and the malveh are chashud al shvuah, so nobody in this case can take a shvuah. Well, if nobody can take his case in the shvuah, what's the din? So what's the din when neither party can take a shvuah? Da'amar mar, chazra shvuah, the mechuyav la. That the shvuah goes back to the original party who was chayav in it. Umitoch she'en yachol di shavah mishalem. You have two options in Beit Din. In Beit Din, you have two options. One is to pay. The other one is to take a shvuah. You can't take the shvuah. You pay. So what happens here? In this case, if the loveh is chashud al shvuah, we say, okay, chachamim instituted. Truthfully, if the loveh is chashud al shvuah, the loveh should have to pay, because he had a choice. Either you take the shvuah or you pay. Here he can't take the shvuah, you pay. So chachamim didn't want to do this, because then in every case, what are we going to do? Every person who is chashud al shvuah, basically you'd have a database of all the people chashud al shvuah, and each day you'd bring them to court and say, he owes me 200 shekel. He owes me 200 zuz. Why? What's going to happen now? He's going to deny it, but he can't take a shvuah, and he's going to be chayav in all those cases. So in order to protect them, the chachamim said, no, the toveya is going to have to take a shvuah here. Nishba v'notel. He has to be nishba and then take to be notel, because we don't want these people making these willy-nilly cases against individuals who are chashud ala shvuah. So the Gemara says, okay, but what happens if the other party is also chashud al shvuah? If the other party is chashud al shvuah, we go back to the ikar doraisa. So the ikar doraisa is that the nidva is the one who has to take the shvuah. We take a nishbav and iftar. Since he can't take the shvuah, he's not patur. He's going to have to pay in this case. So that's what's going to happen over here. He's going to have to pay money. So now, this Eid Echad, who could have come and testified in this case, where both parties are chashud al shvuah, he's really a problem at, this aid would have caused money to move. Because nobody could take a shvuah in this case. And if he came and testified, then the loveh would have to pay. And the fact that he didn't testify now caused a loss to the malveh. So therefore, in that case, a kol modim, even the chachamim would agree that Eid Echad is chayav b'shvuat eidut, because his impact on the case would be a monetary impact, and therefore, if he denies that eidut, then his shvuat eidut would be mechayev him here. A kol modim be'Eid Echad Rabbi Abba. What's this case of Eid Echad Rabbi Abba? The how gavra chotof nascho mechavre. This individual came and seized a piece of purified metal or silver from his friend. Atala kamei de Rabbi Ami. They came before Rabbi Ami and he says, look, You know, this guy took Rabbi Yoti, Rabbi Abba Kameh. Rabbi Abba was present at the time of the case. He brought one witness, the Michtav Chatfamine. He brought a witness that this individual grabbed it away from him, that he took it, he seized it from him by force, he took this item away from him. So the person who did seize it says, in, right, Chatfe, I did take it, I seized it, Vididi Chatfe, but I took it because it was mine. So now, what is Amir Amiyami says, we're stuck. We're really in a bad situation here. Heichel daini daini lahai dino. How should a judge adjudicate this case? Lishalem, right? If you want to say that the party that is being the defendant over here, the one who has seized the property, should have to pay up over here, leketreis ade, then we don't have two witnesses to say he's chayav mamon. Liftere, you want to say he's, let him go patur? Haika chatzado de michta chotov. We have one witness that said that he took it by force, he seized it from him. Well, if that's the case, we have one witness to that effect. He's got, he can't just let him go without any right denial towards that one aid. So my says lishtaba. So what do you normally do when you have one aid? You take a shvuah to offset the aid. The problem is here, Kevin Damar in Chatvi, Vididi Chatvi, says since he said he admitted to what the aid said. He says, yes, I did take it. I seized it by force, but I took my own property. Havalik Gazlan. He's now like a gazlan, and if he's a gazlan, he can't take a shvua over here. He's unable to take the shvua because he's like a gazlan. So why is he classified, or what makes him into a gazlan over here, is that the fact that he took something by force. If you look at the top Tosfos on the right side, he says, mishum d'chol davar machzikin lei b'cheskat mishaya biyado. Whoever has something in their hand, the underlying assumption is that that is the owner. Right, that a cheskas in mentalim, a chazaka of being in your reshut or under your balut, is a chazaka that you own it. So therefore, if you came along and seized it from that person, it's as if you're a gazlan, as if you took it away. Because if we had two witnesses to the fact that you seized it from him, you'd have to pay it back. So that basically makes you into a gazlan in this case. So since you're a gazlan, you can't take a shavua over here. So that's what Ravami says, I'm stuck. Ravami says, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck because I can't let him go. I can't be mechayev him. I can't give him a shvua. I don't know what to do in this case. Right? The first one is considered the muchzak. At this point in time, it's in the possession of the second party. To remove it from his possession, we need some sort of court procedure to move it out of his possession. We don't automatically revert it back to the original party. You can't do that. If you take something, if it's in your hands, when you show up in Beis Din, it's in your hands, then at that point in time, it considers it yours, and if we want to remove it from your property, we need witnesses to say that it wasn't yours, or to give it back to the original owner. The other problem here is not only because he's a gazlan over here, but the other issue is that he can't actually take a shavua. Because what do you do when the shavua is taken to deny what the aide said? The aide said, you took it by force. So now what shvua? He should be taking a shvua and says that I did not take it by force. Or you didn't see that. I never took it from him. But now he can't do that. His shvua, when he's going to say it, he's going to say, listen, the Eid Echad says you took it by force. He says, Enochanami, you're right. You want me to take a shvua that I took it by force? I'll take a shvua that I took it by force. He can't take a shvua over here to deny what the Eid says. So even without the status, or without this problem of Gazlan over here, there's the additional issue, which is that he is unable to take a shvua over here that will deny what the Eid Echad, to be machish that Eid, because he agrees with that Eid. If he agrees that Eid, the Shvua can never be taken to deny what the Eid says over here. So now the Gemara says, this is where Rabbi Abba comes in. He says, Amalei Rabbi Abba, Havalei Mechuyav Shvua. The person is obligated to take a Shvua, Ven Yochali Shava. And since he can't take the Shvua, V'chol Mechuyav Shvua, Ven Yochali Shava, Mishalem. You have two choices. When you're obligated to take a shvua and you're unable to take the shvua, you're unable to take the shvua because you're a gazlan, or because your shvua is not a denial of what the Eid Echad says. Therefore, you have the only other choice is to pay. You take a shvua or you pay. When you can't take the shvua, you pay. So that's the answer. The answer in the case here, he's going to have to pay it back because he couldn't take the shvua. So again, over here, an Eid Echad would be very valuable. The Eid Echad over here causes a shvua to this individual. And if he causes a shvua to this individual, he's going to cause a monetary obligation because the person can't take the shvua. So again, both Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will agree that there's shvuat ha'edut over here because this aid can make monetary have monetary implications and monetary impact on the case. Amar of Papa, or Papa says, Hakol modim be'ed mita shu chayav, v'chol modim be'ed mita shu patur. So again, he has Abaye has this cryptic statement that we have to decipher, which is, everybody agrees by one aid by mitah that you're chayav, and one says, everybody agrees by one aid by mitah, you're patur. What's the case over here? That's what it says. So, kol modim be'ed mita shu patur. What's the case by eid mita? Now, eid mita is an individual who knows testimony about the husband of a woman. A woman is here. She wants to remarry. She wants to collect her ketubah. But in order for her to collect her ketubah or to remarry, we have to know that her husband passed away. And this eid knows that her husband passed away or has information about the fact that her husband is no longer alive. So this one eid, when he doesn't, that's an eid mita. So in this case, in the eid mita, he's going to be patur. What's the case? Damar lali dida, v'lo amar lahu the beit din. He says to her, yes, your husband is dead. He tells her that information. And then when he comes to beis din, he denies that he has eidut. In that case, both Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim agree you're patur. Why? Because in this case, you have no impact on the case anymore. Because you're believed, because you come as an eid echad, you're believed by the Chachamim, right? The Chachamim gave power to an eid echad by the cases of Anug, they were Mekel Baguna, that an eid echad has impact. But you know one who else has the same impact in the case? The woman herself. The woman herself says, Baruli, right, that it's clear to me that my husband's dead. We believe the woman, but she is believed fully, and therefore she can collect her ketubah based on her statement over here. So she doesn't need this eid echad. She could do it by herself. And the fact that he told her that eidut already gives her the same information as the eid echad coming to Beit Din and testifying. She knows the same information. She knows the information from this eid echad. If that gives her the confidence to go and remarry her to collect her ketubah, she can go to court and say, my husband's dead. Let me move forward. So therefore, the Eid Echad here is not doing anything that causes a monetary loss. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah, Isha Shamra, Meid Bali Tinaseh. Woman who says that my husband died, she can get married. Meid Bali Tityabim. My husband died, she can go and perform Yibum, meaning that she has the right, she's believed in this case. Now, Kol Modim Be'ed Mita Shu Chayav. What's the case of Eid Mita that you are Chayav? He denies having testimony both to her and to the Beit Din. He never says anything. So based on that, now he's an Eid Echad that would have impact to allow her to get her ketubah. And now by not showing up in court, he is denying her the right to her ketubah, denying her the right to get her monetary rights here in the case. And therefore he's having monetary impact. Monetary impact, both Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agree that there's Shvat Eidut and you're going to be Chayav in that case. So Mara says, now, Shema Mino, we can conclude from this, Mashbia Eide Karka Chayav. That someone who causes Eide Karka to take a Shvua, right, that they are Chayav. Well, so now, that's a question, which is the coming up in the Gemara, about whether this is true. It's a Machlokas, right, Amoraim and Machlokas Tanaim, which the Gemara has a question, that if a person is Mashbia Eidut al Eiduta Karka, on land, and then they deny it, this eidut about this karka, right, and they make such a denial, is this individual then chayav shvat eidut or not chayav shvat eidut? So that's a machlokas. Over here, from our Gemara, it sounds like that eidut about karka would be fine, and you'd be chayav shvat eidut. Why? How do we know that from this? That's what Rashi tells us. Rashi tells us, this eid amita is an eid karka hu. This eid is an eid karka. Why? Ketubah ina nigveit elamina karka. Where is the ketubah going to be collected from? It's going to be collected. The rights of the ketubah come right out of the land. It's a lien. There's a super lien by the ketubah on the land. And therefore, when he comes and testifies in court, this eid mita comes and testifies, he's testifying about the fact that she's going to get that karka. So we see an eid echad testifying about karka, and what do we say? There is shvat eidut. So should we be able to conclude about this case? The Gemara says, no. Dilma ditfisa kemitaltele. A ketubah does not always have to be a karka issue. There are certain instances where the ketubah is paid out of metaltalim. It's paid out of, she already had money. She grabbed money after he died from the estate, or the husband gave her money, or some sort of money that will pay for the ketubah. And in paying for the ketubah, that is not an issue of karka, so we can't prove anything from this case over here. Right now, the next case in the Mishnah, which is kafar echad, v'hodeachad. One of them denies having testimony, the other one admits to having testimony. Hashto, the Gemara says, b'zeachad zed, t'avayuka kafri. In the case where there was sequential, and they both deny it, amarat arishon chayav v'asheni patur. You say the first one is chayav and the second one's patur. Kafar achad v'hodeachad mibai. In case where the first one denies it and the second one admits that there is testimony, you need to tell me that the first one's chayav? Of course he's chayav in that case. What's the question over here? Gemara says, lo, tzricha kagon to kafru shnehem. They both deny it. V'chazar echad mehem. They both deny having testimony. Then the second one, Tochadei Dibor, reverses his position, says, I do have testimony. I'm sorry, I retract. So Hakamash Malan, the Tochadei Dibor, Kadibor Domi. And that comes to teach us that Tochadei Dibor is Kadibor Domi. Where it says, Bishlam al Rav Chista. That works well according to Rav Chista, who set up our Mishnah in the case before. Right, in the first case, when they were coming together, set up the case of Rabbi Yosef Glili, said the Reisha is talking about a case of Efshel Letzamtzem. That was the Chiddush of the Reisha. Seifa comes to teach us the Chiddush of Tochadei Dibur. El Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan who says, Reisha Tochadei Dibur, Seifa Tochadei Dibur, Tarte Lomali. What do I need to learn? The same din of Tochadei Dibur in both sections of the Mishnah. It says, no, Ma'u Dutena, Hani, Milei Kfiro Kfira. When do I say Tochadei Dibur? That's when they're both saying the same thing. When they're both saying the denial, then we say Tochadei Dibur. Of a Kfir of a Hoda'ah, if you have a denial and then you have a Hoda'ah, maybe we don't say the Tochadei Dibur applies here and he'll be Chayav. That Kamash Malan, that it applies. Tochadei Dibur even applies when they have a difference of opinion, when they're not saying the same thing or not coming to the same conclusion over here. All right, now the last piece of the Mishnah. Hayush Tei Kitei Edim. You have two sets of Edim that show up in Beit Din. Kafra Rishona, Vacharkach Kafra Shnia. The first one denies, and then the second one denies. Bishlama Shnia Titchayev de Kafra La Rishona. Right, the second one, we understand why they're chayab, because the first one's already denied, and now they're not edim anymore. So they're the only ones left in the case. Ava Rishona, amai, why is the first set of edim chayav? They know there's another set of edim that could sway the case, and therefore they're not going to be impactful. They know there's another set of edim, and the other set of edim could make the case go forward without them. So the guy says, Akaima, right, Shnia, right, Akaima Shnia, the second one's still around. So Amaravina, Hachamaya Skinan, that at the time that the first ones testified, the second set of Edim were Krovim. They were Krovim b'nishotehem. Their wives were, they were relatives through wives. B'nishotehem gososot, but their wives on their deathbed. They're on the edge of death. So, ma'udotenum, grov gososim lemitad, grov gososim end up dead. Kamash Malon, that even though Rov Gosim end up the Mitam, right now they're alive, and if they're alive, they're classified as Krovim over here. Now I want to tell you, this is not such a simple case. Right? That's the Kamash Malon. The Kamash Malon is not that Ain Rov Gosim the Mitam. The Kamash Malon is, yes, Rov Gosim the Mitam, but while they're alive, they're still alive. The problem here is that when they testify, Edut has to be Mitchila Arasov, has to be somewhere where you're not a relative. That means that they had to witness the case when they weren't relatives, and they have to testify when they're not relatives. That means that this whole marriage had to take place after the witnessing of the event. Then they had, the woman had to be gososot, and then while they were gososot, they were going to come to testify in the case, and then they pass away afterwards in order to allow them to testify in the case. Again, it's a very extreme case here, but making the point that the individuals, those first set of Edim will only be chayav in such an instance where the second Edim are only somewhat able to testify. They're not able to testify because they have this me'akev called nishotehem or krovim. But what's the chavamin? The chavamin is because they're gososot, then maybe that should be enough to allow the first Edim or class the first Edim as to be problematic. And the Gemara says, no, that's not the case over here. That's not, because they're gososot, right? They're still alive. They're still alive. That means that the first Edim are the only impactful when they are testifying, and therefore when they deny it, that's what they do it, and they're going to be chayav in this case. Okay, we'll stop over here.